Morning. It's good to be with everyone today. And today I'd like to start a series we'll do over time here, not consecutive weeks, but looking in the book of Jonah. And you probably think that, well, you know everything about Jonah. It's a short book. It's a book about a prophet. You know, usually the books of prophecy are about the prophecies of the prophet, not the prophet himself. But there's a book about the prophet Jonah. It's kind of different in that it's about the man himself. Habakkuk is another one that is unique because it's recording a discussion between God and the prophet. But Jonah's just a completely different picture. It's a narrative about Jonah and his life decisions. He's a stubborn man and stubborn prophet, and it's about a gracious God. And so we don't know a whole lot about Jonah. What Brendan read for us this morning, we see in the first verse that his father's name was Amittai. We do read a prophecy that's recorded in 2 Kings, which was fulfilled in the days of Jeroboam II. And what this tells us is that Jonah likely prophesied around 800 B.C. So 2 Kings 14, verse 23 says, "In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. He restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who is from Gath-Hepher." So here's another reference we have to Jonah. And so that helps us with the timeline a little bit of what's, you know, going on here with Jonah. And one thing is, as I was preparing for this lesson, I found interesting, I'm going to talk about more of this in another lesson, is that archaeologists, when they go back and they look at the history of Assyria, they do see a period of time where Assyria did not go to war. And it was right after this, you know, when they repented. And so there's archaeological history that really verifies what we see in the book of Jonah. Because a lot of people dismiss the book of Jonah as being some kind of fairy tale with Jonah and the big fish. But, you know, there's historical evidence here that things happened just as God said that they did. And we'll talk in more detail about that later, because I found that very, very interesting. But when we look at what God has told Jonah to do here, we know Jonah didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go to Assyria or go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. Nineveh was the capital of the great Assyrian Empire. And when Jonah is told to go there, he's told to go preach against it. Verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.'" And Assyria was very evil. And in fact, I was reading about some of the atrocities that they did, and I decided I wasn't even going to read them because they were so graphic in the things that it describes. But we'll just suffice it to say that they mutilated their enemies and paraded around the mutilation of their enemies as trophies of war. So very, very evil and vicious, one of the most vicious empires in world history. And we'll talk more about that a little later. But what we see here is in verse 2, the Lord says, "Their evil has come up against me." So God's very aware of how wicked these people are. And when we look at the history of God's people, we see they were a constant threat to Israel and eventually destroy them in 722, and also, you know, conquered much of the nation of Judah during the days of Hezekiah. And so Assyria played a big role against, you know, God's people later on. So the point that I'm making here is nobody likes them. You know, nobody likes Assyria. They are a real world power in the ancient world. They're nasty and they're cruel. And they oppress Israel and Judah repeatedly throughout their time as a world power. And so Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, the capital city of this cruel empire, and preach to them. So you kind of get an idea here of why Jonah, you know, doesn't want to do this. And in verse 3 says that Jonah rose to run away from the presence of the Lord. And then he goes to Joppa. He pays the fare for a ship to go to Tarshish. And you see here on the map that, you know, he's going away. He's going in the opposite direction of because Tarshish is out this way, not toward where it is that he's supposed to be going. And so What we are sometimes surprised at here is that this is God's prophet. He's supposed to be, you know, preaching the message of God. And so what's he doing here? Where is he going? Why is he doing this? And so I want you to notice this, and this is something I have preached on Jonah so many times and talked about Jonah and thought about Jonah and this phrase here that Jonah is running from the presence of the Lord. And that's always been curious to me, is, you know, what prophet of God really thinks that they can outrun God or get away from God? And, you know, I've used the illustration before of me trying to get away from my dad. If my dad was trying, you know, if we were driving somewhere and we're acting up in the back seat of the car, he tries to backhand us and we move to the very back seat, you know, he's going to pull the car over. I mean, he's going to get us somehow. We're not going to outrun him. And so, you know, it was pointless. And so I've used that illustration before. You know, pointless here for Jonah to try to outrun God. That's not going to work. But does Jonah really think that, okay, well, God's here, he's not over there, and I'm going to go somewhere where he's not? It's just unfathomable to me that Jonah would think that he can get away from God. So on an absolute level, I think we all know that. We cannot get away from God's presence. And when we think, well, Jonah's pretty foolish for thinking that he can, well, is that what Jonah is thinking? Well, let's think about that for a minute. Jonah says in verse 9, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So Jonah knows who God is. He knows that God created the earth. And so does Jonah think that the creator of heaven and earth, the ruler of heaven and earth, is not going to be in Tarshish? That he can get away from him. So that being said, you know, it does say here that he's running from his presence. So what does that mean? So a prophet has a job to do, and that is to foretell what it is that God would have them to say. Let's look at, you know, 1 Kings 17 and 1 Kings 18 as a reference here, talking about Elijah. And so Elijah says, it says, Elijah the Tishbite of Tishba in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there should be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. And so here is Elijah foretelling or telling the words of the Lord. And so really you're standing for God and telling what God would have them to say, speaking words on God's behalf. Same thing in 1 Kings 18, verse 15. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So here we have Elijah giving credit to God and saying, you know, I'm here because of God. And so I'm submitting to you that when we look at Jonah here, I just think Jonah's trying to turn in his prophet card, that he doesn't want to do this job anymore. That I can't imagine that Jonah thinks that he's going to be outside of God's reach, but he just doesn't want to do God's job anymore. He doesn't want to do what God would have him to do. So Jonah just wants to get away. And, you know, Jonah could have stayed in Israel, not gone to Nineveh. Why does he just get on a ship to go to Tarshish? Well, he's not going to Nineveh, but and maybe I'm reading something into this that's speculation, but why didn't he just stay where he was and just not go to Nineveh? I just think he doesn't want to be a prophet anymore. You know, if this is my job, then I don't want to do this anymore. And quitting his work of a prophet. And Tarshish was considered to be a place where God's word and glory had not been shown. That doesn't mean that God didn't have any power over there, but the people there were ungodly. Verse 18 of Isaiah 66 says, "For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow to Tuvel and Javan, to the coastlands far away, that they have not heard my fame or seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations." And so here Tarshish is listed along with these other lands that they have not been exposed to God yet. So here, Jonah, that's where Jonah is going to go. He's not going to do God's work any longer. And he doesn't like God's command. And so he's done with that. So I don't know that we should be too surprised that Jonah ran the other direction when he didn't want to do what God said. Because what are people's tendencies on that? If we don't like what God says, then we'll run in the other direction. Have you ever seen somebody that didn't like what the Lord's church taught, so they found another church that would tell them that their life was okay? Or they didn't like something or something that was being taught, and so I'm going to shop around until I can find, you know, somebody that tells me what I want to hear. You know, when we go to the doctor, sometimes we like to get a second opinion. Maybe you want a third opinion or a fourth opinion until you find one that tells you what you want to hear. And it's kind of like, you know, kids, when they don't get the right answer from their mom, they go to their dad, and or vice versa. I'm going to keep asking until I get the right answer. Well, it sure would be nice if we liked and agreed with all of God's commands. But Jonah didn't like this. And so I want you to notice and think about this, that God is going to tell us things that we don't like. And God is going to tell us to do things that we don't want to do. And God's going to tell us to give up things we don't want to give up. But we should do what God says, and we should like and agree with all the commands that God has given to us. But we think we shouldn't have to do something that we don't want to do. And usually that's where we have the biggest problem. Where do parents have a problem with their kids? If you told your kid, why don't you get up and go get some ice cream? I mean, how many would you have to nag them about that? Why don't you go mow the grass? Well, it's too hot. It rained. I think it's going to rain again today. And I want to wait till the grass isn't so wet. And if I wait long enough, maybe it'll rain again and I won't have to do it. Impractical Jokers is on TV. I don't want to do that right now. But go get some ice cream. Oh, that... You know, so God gives us things and sometimes we don't like it. And so Jonah here does not like what he's told to do, and so he's quitting, and he's going to go elsewhere. I'm not going to be God's prophet right now. Have you ever had somebody tell you that they don't like what God's doing in their life right now? I've had people tell me that before. That makes me cringe when I hear that. That you're not satisfied with what God is doing for you, and that comes from an improper understanding of what God has already done for you. That I'm not happy with what God's given me or what He's doing for me right now. So what do? They quit. Several years ago, when I was working at EBSCO Media, this was pretty early on when I had come there, they brought in a consultant. And you know what people say about consultants? They take great pains and give them to others. But the consultant was hired to come in and look at a certain situation because, you know, there's political things going on, and some people had it in their head that there was some big problems in a certain department, and they wanted to see how better that department could be run. So get a consultant to come in and tell you what's wrong. But the consultant came in and pretty quickly told him, your problem is not this department, your problem is over here. You know, your biggest inefficiencies are over here. But that's not what we hired you to do. You leave that department alone. We want you to focus over here. And they got so upset about that they fired the consultant. And the funny thing was, is he was absolutely right. He was absolutely right about what it was that he had pointed out. But they didn't like what he said, and so they fired him. You see the spiritual application here. That so many times people can be that way with God. I don't like what you're telling me. I don't like what that preacher is preaching. I'm not going to listen to that. And you don't want to change, or you don't like what you have to give up, and so you quit. And it is very sad that when God's word comes to us, like it has come to Jonah, Jonah has told to go and do this, and his response is to go and run the other way because we don't like what it is that he's told us to do. Another thing that I want you to realize here is that when Jonah decided to run, God didn't barricade him. Say, nope, you're not going to run. Jonah runs to Joppa. And what does he do? He finds a ship that's going to take him from God's presence, take him away from his role as a prophet. And of course, you probably know the rest of the story here and all the things that God is going to do to Jonah later, but I want you to notice something right here at the beginning is that when Jonah wanted to run from God, God let him. And if you want to quit, if you want to quit on God, He's not going to stop you. There's always an opportunity to run away. And there will always be someone or something in your life that will give you the encouragement, why don't you just quit? And I mentioned this few weeks ago about an encounter that I had with somebody that said, well, I don't attend church anywhere. The church is full of hypocrites. So, you know, there he has his excuse that I'm not going to serve God because there's bad people in the church. And so if you're looking for an excuse, you know, so, you know, of course, my dad would always say, well, you know, if you don't like the hypocrites now, you know, where do you think they're going to be? And so if you don't like them now, you're not going to like them later. So, better to be with a few hypocrites now than be with them for eternity. So, Jonah has the opportunity to run, and he runs, and he doesn't get to Joppa and find out, oh, well, there's no ships leaving for months. Now, he finds one immediately that's going on. This is not like a big cruise port like we have today, all these passenger ships, you know, leaving every hour. You know, this cargo ship here, and he just happens to find one that's leaving. And so God lets him go. And I tell you, it does seem like if somebody wants to run away from God, they find it super easy to do. There'll always be a ship ready to take you away from the presence of the Lord. And did you notice this? Jonah paid the fare. So that he paid the fare to do it. And so, I mean, you could make application. You pay the price when you run away, and he certainly did in a literal way there. To run the other direction. God let him run, found a ship, ready to take him away. What did we read last week in Romans? The wages of sin is death. So you pay a price for running the other direction. The wages of sin is death. But you have to remember that disobedience is always costly. So, you know, what we see in here, you know, crystallizing in this story is that Jonah's story is a lot of people's story. That they get to a point that I don't want to do this. This is too difficult. And God's telling me to go in this direction. I want to go in another direction. And so your response is to reject what He's told you to do. And in verse 2, we see that the Lord tells Jonah to go up. Get up and go. And that's not what he did. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. Arise. But then we see in verse 3 that Jonah went down to Joppa, went down into the ship, and it's just a progression of downs. That God is calling him up and he's going down. And so that's what happens. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on the earth." And so Paul says that since we are with Christ, then we need to keep our mind on Christ. And look upward and not downward. Don't look at things of the earth. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 says, "I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think this way." Set your mind on things that are above. So, here, Jonah going downward. God's way will take us upward. And as you go through the narrative here that we'll go through in upcoming weeks, you'll see more of what happens here. Jonah is beginning his descent. He is leaving his job as a prophet. But, you know, going downward, it never, you know, pays the dividends that you're looking for. It never takes you where it is that you really should be going. But when we get to the next verse, verse 4, it says, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea." And so verse 4 begins with this, "But the Lord." And that is significant. Because, you know, he let Jonah go, and Jonah was going his way, but God's not giving up on his stubborn servant here. And I think we can take, you know, great joy in knowing that even if we try to run away from God, he's not, you know, there's the "but God" this on in our life too. That God is not done with us. And you may be running from God, but God's not done with you. So you may be in a situation where you've heard what God wants you to do and you reject it. But if you're still living and breathing, then God's not done with you. Maybe you said that you are done with God and tried to run from God. But we know that God has not given up on us. And so the rest of the book of Jonah is going to show how God has not, you know, given up on Jonah, though, you know, Jonah has some issues and not wanting to do what it is that God said, and maybe half-heartedly goes back and does it. But the good thing is, you know, we've just gone through a few verses here. This isn't where the story ends. And so if we are in the situation, or if somebody else is in the situation where they have gone downward, there is so much hope that you don't have to stay there. That you have God that wants you to come back. And as Jonah is going to do, he's going to have to look at where he is. And that happened to the prodigal son. He had to look at where he was when he was in the pig pen, and he didn't end up where he thought he was going to be when he ran and paid the price to run. And the good news is that God is constantly calling you to stop going downward. Stop going downward and to lift your eyes upward. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7 says, "We too, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." This really parallels great what we read in Romans 6 in our class this morning. And if you can be here Wednesday night, we'll continue on with that discussion really good today. But what we see here is that here is somebody that is dead in trespasses but didn't stay there, that has spiraled downward and didn't stay there, that God has given you grace and raised you up. So God is ready to raise you up if you are running downward, running away from the Father who's always calling you to come back. So when we read verse 3, "But Jonah ran away," and then we get to verse 4, "But the Lord," and then it goes on from, I think that's something that gives us a lot of hope in our life. But, you know, "But Randy ran away, but the Lord, so I'm willing to stay there." So again, remember, God let Jonah, you know, run away. And if you want to run away from God, there may be, you know, family calling you out. There may be others trying to restore you. But, you know, if you're stubborn like Jonah and you want to get on the ship and go, you'll find a way to go. But God is there wanting you back. I think there's a lot of good lessons for us as we look through this interesting story of this prophet. And we'll look more on this in upcoming weeks. So I hope this be useful to you and encouraging to you, and certainly give you hope that when somebody does run away from God, that they can come back and that God wants them back. If we can help you in any way to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
sort of good to have this number out this month. We're heard everybody came to play. So we remember those that we mentioned sick, those that maybe traveling. Make sure we thank Randy for a good start to the series on Jonah that we learned from this book. Is there anything else we need to mention this morning before this? I look forward to seeing everybody again with you tonight. And thank you for our Bible study and continue with the Roman Catholic Church. Nothing else for us to do in our closing prayer.
Please bow with me. Our great God and Father who art in heaven, we come before thee with gladness that we could gather as saints this morning to worship and to glorify your most precious and holy name. We render our service to you, Father, and pray that you'll receive it to your glory and impute it to us for righteousness. We look forward, Father, to being together again and pray for your steady hand upon us to guide us in the pathways of life, to keep us faithful unto you, walking by your side, and in like mind and spirit with our brethren here. We pray that as time is permitted, that you will allow us to come back together Wednesday night and continue our Bible study together, to learn more about your word from the gospel message of Romans, and learn how to teach it and live it effectively before you. We're thankful, Father, for the messages from the prophet Jonah. Though he made poor choices to start with, he is an example to us and that we can learn a great deal from being put to the work that you would have us to do and the urgency for which we should lay hold of that work and accomplish it again to your glory. Father, we're mindful of those that are weak and feeble among us spiritually. As we have prayed regularly for those to be restored who had physical ailments, and we prayed earlier today for all of those on our minds now that need our help, we are reminded from the lesson that there are those who are spiritually ill and that need restoration, that need to be edified and built up again. Father, we pray that you would use us as godly tools to share the truth of your word, to be an encouragement, to be an edifying voice for those people, that they may be restored to a faithful walk before you, and that you would give us strength to be patient and to show our own courage and share that with them, that they can lean on us as they seek to lean on you. Father, please be with us as we depart this place. Bless this congregation. Bless the work that we do individually. And that you will continue to bless us here to practice what we proclaim in holding up the banner of truth, seeking your righteous life, living by your word, and seeking to be with you forever and ever in heaven. Please guide and protect each one of us through the walks of life in this sinful world that we may not overtaken with it, but overcome evil with good. And we pray these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.